and a lot of travel a long way to be here. I'm also we've got not a long, but we've got a fair way to be here. So I've got a long way to go. So literally, father law, you know, we'll understand some of these things, but it's going to be father law. And so, Joel chapter number one, and I want to just sit with the Lord. Has the book of Joel, and I understand the context. I hope you understand the context of the book of Joel. It's talking about that great day of the Lord. It's a prophecy concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes and puts his feet on the earth and takes the desolation of Israel, the desolation of the earth, and he makes all things new. And so, again, normally in the book of Joel, we don't see the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, but we see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ when he puts his feet on the ground, and of course he takes the throne of his father David, and he establishes his kingdom upon the earth, and that is the context of the book of Joel. And in this, though, the Lord gives us a hope, gives us some understanding, for he tells us in verse number 8, he says this, "Lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth." This is a chaste virgin. It's a glorious virgin. I want to say without spot or wrinkle. And she's longing for the bridegroom of her youth. She's lamenting that she cannot be with her bridegroom. You look over and we find in verse number, or chapter number 2 it is. And I got to find the verse right now. I believe it's in verse number 16. It says, "Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet." So again, we're in context in Joel where we see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth. But I want you to see this also that we can see in here. We see a bride. We see the bridegroom. We do see, if you will, a picture of the church. And that's not dogma. But it's the picture of the church. We see a bride longing for the return of the bridegroom. But in here is the instruction that's given to the priest. There's instruction given in Joel chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It's given to the old men. And I want to say to us, old men, he said, give ear. Hear this, ye old men, give ear. All ye inhabitants of the land, hath this been in your days or even the days of your fathers? Have we ever seen a time like this? Have we ever seen a day like this? Have we ever seen troubles like we're seeing, not just in America? Let's lose our vision as far as an American vision. Let's not lose a world vision, if you will, but a spiritual vision. Have we ever seen times like this? Have we ever seen the desolation on every hand? Have we ever seen a people that has fought against the truth of the Word of God like we're seeing today?
That's right.
John said the spirit of Antichrist, which is in the world. If John said it 2,000 years ago, how much stronger is that spirit of Antichrist in the world today?
Amen.
We're seeing a desolate people. We're seeing desolation. We are seeing a Laodicean church. No, you're not. You're miserable, poor, you're naked. You say you have need of nothing. But yet, we're lacking the main thing, which is Christ. We have the goods of the world. We have clothing. We have air conditioning. We have a roof. We have cars. We have the expedience of travel, yet we're missing the main thing, which is a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the Laodicean church. John said the spirit of Antichrist, which is in the world today. The spirit of Antichrist is a spirit that mimics the spirit of Christ. It's a replica. However, the one thing he will not do is point you to the true Christ. He'll point you to himself. Mm-hmm. Now, when the spirit of Antichrist points you to himself, the way to identify is he's always promoting something other than the Word of God. That's the only identifier. He's promoting programs.
Yeah.
He's promoting the social aspect of church. He's promoting worship. He's promoting praise. He's going to promote a spirit of worship. How many times do you hear that phrase? Are we in a good spirit of worship?
Aye.
But did you have the spirit of Christ? You have the Spirit of Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. And so, you know, we see that being promoted. We see religion being promoted today. The Spirit of Antichrist promotes religion.
What he does not promote is the Word of God. Preachers today will say something like this: close your Bibles and look up here to me. Most people don't carry their Bibles to church anyway.
That's right.
Most places we go, we see people that carry their Bibles, but you go by other assemblies and other buildings that say church on the front, and people don't even carry Bibles in.
That's right.
They're carrying their makeup kits and their jewelry cases and everything else under the sun. They got their little Sunday school leaflets and their Rick Warren books, but they don't carry a Bible to church.
Right.
Why? Because the focus is not on the Word of God. The spirit of Antichrist points to self. He points to religion. He points to the deceit that is in religion. He's never going to point to the Word of God.
Oh,
how many people have been turned away in this day by the deceit of religion? They say, you know, people all the time probably here at our church, you know, what do you have for the children? And Brother Herbert used to tell them, when I was a member of Brother Herbert Williams' church, he'd say, we got preaching.
Amen.
And one lady actually laughed. She goes, no, really, what do you have for the children? He said, we got preaching.
Amen.
And she got uncomfortably laughed. She goes, well, what is there for my children to do? Brother Herbert goes, they can send them to preaching. Amen. Well, that's not real popular, but that's where they need to be.
That's right. Yes, sir, wrong.
What do you have for the children? We have the Word of Truth for the children. It's for the children. It's for the adults. These young children can glean something. Listen, they'll find unusual things to take home. They just will. They'll say, you know, Mommy, Daddy, did you see when Brother Tim, you know, when he coughed and that phlegm flew out of his mouth? You know, they pick up on this little nuance. They pick up on this little, you know, differences. But they pick up on this, but you know, as they get older and older, all of a sudden some things start to get a hold of them. Some things start to grab. Some things start, they come home and start asking the questions, Mommy, Daddy, what does this mean? Mommy, Daddy, what is this? What am I seeing here? Why? Because they're sitting under the preaching of the Word of God. Spirit of Antichrist will not put you under Spirit-filled preaching. Spirit of Antichrist will direct you to everything but a biblical approach to the Word of God. This, and again, I want to be careful, but we're seeing a movement today that is sweeping across America starting in the 1970s. It is a sodomite movement.
Yeah.
It is a movement based on drugs and hippies sitting around sodomizing each other and smoking dope. And they came out of where their religion was called the Jesus Freak Movement.
That's right.
And it has grown into what is came to Calvary Chapels, which you probably have Calvary Chapels where you live. We got them where we live. Calvary Chapel movement swept America. And what it did, it introduced a worldly church where you can come and be as you are and live how you want to live and act how you want to act, because everything at church is the same as at home. Now, we do promote that. We want you to live at home like you live at church.
Amen, brother. Yep.
But don't you drag your wickedness at home into the house of God.
That's right.
I mean, I'm not condoning being a hypocrite, but don't you be wicked at home and I come to the house of God and act wicked and go, oh, I'm just being myself.
Right.
Amen. The house of God is still a place of reverence. It's a place that God has prepared for His people.
Right. Right.
For His people to come down and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, if you can abide as the law of the stranger, if you can abide by the laws, if you'll take the circumcision, if you'll take that, then you're welcome to dwell in the house of God. But when you come to the house of God and defile the house of God with your actions and with your attitudes and with your looks, and you willfully go against the rules that have been established by the people of the house of God, you're nothing more than a rebel.
That's right.
What they've done is they've introduced rebellion at the house of God and then brought it into people's homes.
Yep. Sure.
They said, nobody can control us. Nobody, I mean, the pastor's cool, he's hip. You know, he's got the Hawaiian shirt. He's got the, you know, the bobo shoes, the fish heads, you know. He's cool, man. He's got no socks on, you know. And but what he's doing is he's introducing a worldliness down on supposedly to be in the house of God for you to take home, that you can be hip and cool with your children. And, you know, man, we go down to the beach and, you know, I mean, it's our bodies. You know, God gave us a body. We ought to enjoy each other's bodies. And my Bible still calls that fornication.
Yeah. It sure does, brother. Yes, sir.
But this contemporary movement has swept through America.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to bring it up what it is. I'm going to unload this, I'm going to unload the burden in my heart. And it swept through America. How it's done is not through the music.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they've introduced a worldly sounding, worldly looking, worldly acting music. And it's in every mainstream independent Baptist church I know.
That's right, brother. Yep.
It's got the backbeat, it's got the sound, it's got the notes, it's got the look, they got the performers, they got the entertainers. And let me tell you right now, if you find a local church singing group, there's a member of a local church in good standing and is spirit-filled and walks with God, you can rest assured of this, they'll be in their local church singing on the Lord's Day.
Yep.
They're not going to be off across town singing somewhere else.
Right, brother. Yes, sir.
God gave temple singers to the temple.
Sure he did.
And their place was in the temple to sing.
Tried that this morning.
God has never called you or anybody else to sing the gospel. Amen. Just want to be real clear about that. Felt God's call on my life to go out and sing the gospel, spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah.
That's against the Bible. God's not called singers to go out and sing. You know, that's as silly as, like, you know, God's called me and my wife to go out and bake the gospel. You know, we're gonna sell cookies to raise money because we're gonna bake the gospel. We're gonna bake little crosses. God's called us to do that. Well, that's just as foolish as that. Just because singing is ordained of God to worship and to praise Him and to bless His name does not mean that we take singing as an advantage, as a way to make money. And I said it real clear, as a way to make money. That's all it is.
That's right.
Yep. Yesterday, my wife and I and the Morey's fathers, they didn't have a clue. And that's not their fault at all. We rode by one of these big old singing groups' houses over here, over in near Mayodan area, Madison, North Carolina. They got the big sign out in front. The tour bus was gone, but they usually got a 45-foot tour bus. It's a Prevost bus. You can look it up right now. It's a Marathon coach, Marathon chassis, or Prevost chassis with a Marathon coach designed on top of it. They start at $2.2 million, just in case you're wondering. But they've been singing the gospel all over America now for 40 years. They build themselves as America's singing family. That's what they build themselves at. They sing in Baptist churches all over America. They sing in independent Baptist churches all over America. And they come in their $2 million bus. They don't come in for free.
No, that's right, brother.
Yep. They don't come in for free. It costs me probably between $7,000 and $10,000 to have them in for a Sunday. And people... And I'm not trying to, I don't know why we're in this, but I really don't know, but the Lord hasn't said it. And people are built and sold a bill of goods, and they'll come in here and give these big offerings and promote these singing groups and give them, but a little missionary struggling, trying to go to the mission field, rolls into church, and they'll give a $50 offering when they just gave the hopper $7,500. And I've seen that firsthand, actual story, actual experience.
Amen. Yep, you're right, brother. Yep.
Here's a little gas money to get on down the rest of the spirit of Antichrist. And the music has introduced it. Let me just go ahead and say this while we're here. And the Southern gospel music is the bridge to the contemporary music.
That's right.
It has bridged the two where you cannot distinguish the difference between the two.
Right.
Because they pipe that in the church. They pipe that in the church because the spirit of Antichrist has power in America.
Right.
He has power to conform people and to change people. And it's destroying churches. It's destroying camps. It's destroying people.
Right.
The Lord said this in Joel, "Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days? Have we ever seen a day?" Now I know as the days of Noah were, such the days of the coming of the Son of Man be. What were the days of Noah? They were eating, drinking, making merry. We live in a food crazy, drink crazy, entertainment crazy society. That's all they want in America. We sat last night, to God be all the glory. We sat last night and actually had tolerable fellowship with the Morans.
Amen.
And we didn't have any entertainment, really. The Morans are a little bit boring. We're a little bit boring. Amen. It just meshed well. We didn't even play Ticket to Ride or Settlers of Catan because Dale hates games. You know how that is. But we enjoyed ourselves. We just talked and fellowshiped.
Yeah, amen, brother.
And we joke about it. Listen, we're all guilty. We all sit there, you know, we all got our phones out playing, you know. We sit there, we watch families of 6-8 people sitting around the table at restaurants. They're not speaking a word. Every one of them's on the phone.
That's right.
My wife and I at a restaurant one time, they finally had put the phones away. There's four of them sitting at the table. They finally put the phones away. And all of a sudden, within, what, 3-4 seconds, they all four pull the phones back out again. They're all like, they look up kind of laughing. You know, somebody had updated something on Facebook, and all four of them got it, I think. And they laugh, you know, they put the phones. I mean, this is, have we ever seen all this wise?
Right.
Men promoting self. Men promoting themselves over the Lord Jesus Christ. Churches promoting themselves over the Lord Jesus Christ. We used to drive on the interstate. We used to drive past America's, one of them, was it America's most exciting or one of America's, I think they actually did say one of America's most exciting churches. Well, when the pastor's wife was running around on the church fire because she was an adulteress, had been for years, they just denied it. He left the ministry there. His son's still in prison in West Virginia for molesting a little girl on the church bus under his care and his ministry. His wife's running around adultery. So they finally changed the sign. It no longer says one of America's most exciting churches. By the way, that's pretty exciting. You got some pastor going to prison, his wife's running. That's an exciting church, I'll be honest with you. What the sign says now, instead of America's most exciting church, it says a place you can call home. You know, oh, that's so warm.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine driving, honest, can you imagine driving down the interstate and it's like, oh my, there it is. Finally, after all these years, there's a place we can call home. They spent thousands of dollars to put a sign up, a place we can call, Brother Vernon, I'm not trying to get, you guys need a better sign. You gotta get some type of motto, some type of motif. You could say, like, it's a church built on the rock without the roll, you know, something try to help people out. But do you realize that is an attraction to people?
Sure. Yeah.
Have we ever seen it on this wise?
Right.
Have we ever seen the insanity that's coming out of churches today? The insanity that's coming out of religion today? I mean, they're getting together down the Greensboro Coliseum. 18,000 young people, and they're packed in there for Jam Fest, or, you know, 22 contemporary bands, one night only, Greensboro Coliseum, $55 a ticket. Can somebody not see the insanity? There's money, and there's money behind it.
Sure.
It's no different. The Neil story I told Brother Dale told many of you the story. That Hollywood actor, and I always forget his name, I get it wrong, so I don't say his name. But he told a story when he was a little boy, and he said, Dad, I want to go down to Yankee Stadium. I want to see the Knick play. For those of you that don't know, that's Mickey Mantle. He said, no, boy, we're not wasting our money down there. He said, Dad, but Knick's the greatest. He's the great slugger, and I forget what his nickname was. And he said, I want to go see. And he said his dad sat down and pointed his finger at him and said, son, what has Mickey Mantle done for you? What has Mickey Mantle done for you?
Yeah.
Has he put food on your table? Has he fed you? Has he put clothes on your back? No, you know what he's done? He's taken your money.
That's right, brother. Yep.
And he's used it to fulfill his own lust.
Right. Yep.
What has A-Rod done for people? 32 million a year, 35 million a year at least?
Yeah.
Now that's not including his endorsements, that's just his contract. What has A-Rod done for me?
I
will say he's not taking my money. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
He's taking the money in. Every time you buy a shirt, he gets money. Every time you buy a jersey, he gets money. Every time you buy a little cocoa cup, it has A-Rod on it with a Yankees emblem and some marshmallows on top, he gets an endorsement off that. He gets money off of that. But do you realize America has been duped in a society that is chasing sports teams and chasing, they're gods in this world, small g. Have we ever seen them this wise? Saw a girl at JCPenney's working one time. She had a tattoo on the inside of her forearm. I'd seen her working there before, and I tried not to comment, but I said, what's with the tattoo? She goes, she flips it around, and it has a tattoo, literally, of Lady Gaga. And this is what her tattoo said. It's a Gaga thing. And underneath it said, you wouldn't understand. And I said, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Right.
She is so duped by a multi-million. She's worth $140 million. I had to look the other day. $140 million net worth. She's so duped into following this woman that she actually tattoos her arm with a likeness of Lady Gaga. Can we just bring this down to where we're at?
That's right, brother. Yeah, preach it.
It's that bad in the churches.
Yes, it is.
Is that bad in religion? Well, people are following a man and following the money more than they're following Jesus Christ. We've never seen it on this wise. We've never seen it in this fashion. We've never seen it with this understanding. He said, you aged men, you listen.
Yes, sir.
He said, nation, listen, give your ear and listen to what I'm saying. Verse 3 says this, I want you fathers and mothers to listen. Tell ye your children of it.
That's right. Yes, sir. That's right.
They mock with a Sammy Allen. I'll never forget, and I do it to my wife just to mess with her. I never forget with a Sammy Allen standing in the pulpit. He said, they got this shirt. I don't try to mock. Please, Lord knows I'm not trying to mock. Don't you think I'm mocking? I just can't say it without doing it. But they got this cereal nowadays. Cereal. And I thought, my soul, he's going to prison his cereal. He said, I couldn't have made it till 10 o'clock in the cotton patch on Surrey. Because we had to have that pork. Sister Barbara, you say amen. That'll be all right. Because we had to have that pork. Amen. Yeah. Had to have some hog chow. Amen. He said, we couldn't have made it to Cotton Patch. He said, and you know, he's flopping around. He's like, he said, we would have fallen out the Cotton Patch. And I'm just up there. And people are looking at each other, cutting their eyes, rolling their eyes, scoffing and mocking. I thought, my soul, you know what that man's doing? He's telling us of a time
when
things were better than what they were.
Yes, sir. Well, you're right.
Look at that.
You know why you can't get anybody to pick cotton today? Well, number one, the NAACP shows up in his suit. Number two, you couldn't get them off their phone long with the whole cotton bag.
That's right, brother, yeah.
I'm just telling you the truth.
That's true, you are.
I talk to employers who cannot hire somebody. They will not hire somebody because they sit there on their phone all day long. They said, the company I work for, right before I left the company, before I went full-time in the ministry, they had to ban cell phones in the building. You had to turn your phone off in the building because people sitting on their phones all day long at work.
Yeah.
We never seen on this wise. And see, Brother Allen talks about an old day when they got up early in the morning, went and picked cotton about noon, came in, had a noonday meal. The old men took a nap. The young boys went down the creek and played and fished. And then about short time, about 5 o'clock, they went out, they milked the cows one more time, they fed the horses. And they brushed out, they curried the horses, they got the cows in, 102 degrees in North Georgia. They went back to the river that night, they caught some more catfish. Mom would fry catfish the next day. Hey, it was a simpler life, if nothing else. I'm not saying it was a better life. There's no such thing as air conditioning, there's no such thing as insulation, there's no such thing as a bug-free house. You didn't call the pest control guy because you had termites, you knocked the wall down and built a new wall. That's just how it was. But it was an easier life.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, brother. Yep.
And the way of the transgressor is hard.
Right. Oh, yes, brother. Yep.
It has created a hard life for people.
Yes, sir. That's right.
We pulled out of wherever we're staying over there, We pulled out of the Tanglewood, down the soccer fields.
Yep.
Hundreds of people. Would I be wrong and say hundreds of people
right,
already?
Yes, sir. All right.
9:37 in the morning, they're lined up at the soccer fields. Little Betty Boop, who's 6 years old, she still doesn't even have to tie her shoes. She's got Velcro shoes on the wrong foot because she's 6 years old. That's just what you do when you're 6 years old. You know, she's running down the soccer field with her toes pointing the wrong way. And she kicks the ball and falls and misses it. Her mom's over there screaming and yelling. Her dad's running up and down the field hollering. You know, and I've stood by and watched some of those little soccer games. I'm just being honest. I mean, they go up and they kick the ball as hard as they can. The ball's like... You're rolling, and then the goaltender dives the other way.
Yeah.
And the ball rolls in, the whole place goes nuts, like they accomplished something.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
Never seen on this wise.
Right, right.
The insanity of sports, the insanity of a nation consumed with athletics.
Right. That's right.
Consumed with it.
That's right, brother. Yep.
As though, honestly, as though that little girl, she can't even put her shoes on the right feet. How's she going to be a soccer star?
That's right.
But this is what society has told them. You better get her involved in sports. Because we find out that girls involved in sports, you know, they have lower risk of teenage pregnancy. They have lower risk of this. Look, you know, they use all these statistics. The statistics they won't give you is where those girls come from that get pregnant as teenagers. That's the statistic they won't give you.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
I tell you, they come out of single family homes where the mom doesn't give a lick about that little girl.
That's right.
That's where they come. Yes, most of them. Some of them come out of church. I said, some of them come out of church.
Right, brother, yep.
But a whole lot of them come out of a home where just nobody cares about them, looking for someone to pay attention to is where they're coming out.
That's right.
Oh, you gotta have sports. You gotta be an athlete. I remember 16 years old. I mean, to tell you the truth now, I'm not making this up at all. One of the big shots pulled, he came up. I got kicked off the baseball team in high school. I had to go play Colt League. And, you know, I was decent. I could hit the ball, but I could care less. I got so mad, man. I was sick of it. I was sick of the corruption. You know, if your dad gave you hundreds of dollars to sponsor the team, then you always got to play. And I'd be sitting in the dugout. I finally walked off the field. One of the big boys shows up. He walks out of the left field. In the middle of the inning, the coach pulls me out of left field. I walked out of the dugout. My coach is standing there. I said, you're a blankety blanket, blankety blanker, blanket, blankety blanker. And my sister sitting in the stands. I went, please don't tell Mom I said that. She's like, okay. I walked off the field. I never looked back. I saw it as a young man. I saw the corruption, the stupidity, and the filthiness. And everything is tied in with it. I watched dads scream at their sons because he threw a curveball that hung over the plate.
Right.
And some boy knocks it out of center field, and his dad grabs a hold of him and cusses him out of the dugout, says, "You would throw him a curveball and knock your stinking teeth out." He never even got drafted. But man, the dad's going wacko nutso because his son must achieve. Imagine how bad it is today. That was 20 years ago.
Right.
That's more than that, I'll be honest with you, about 26, 27 years ago. Imagine how insane it is today.
Yes, yeah. It is.
I mean, no children have to go. I'll be honest, I got to move. My own family members are overrun with that stuff. I don't have time. You know, I got to run her to soccer and her to softball and her to volleyball camp and her to that. I remember going to my niece's first softball game. She was sitting, I pulled in that before the Lord, I lied out of Christ. She's sitting on second base crying. Sitting on second base crying. I'm like, yeah, she's really enjoying this, Rachel. The pressure.
Yes, sir.
The sin-sick society. The pressure to make these little girls dress like whores.
Yes, sir.
To present their bodies, to show themselves. Yep. The mama doesn't care. The daddy doesn't care. I'll be honest, it's a pig of a daddy who doesn't care what his daughter
says. That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
The sad thing is he's probably enjoying it. That's why he doesn't say a lot.
Absolutely.
Yes, watching that little girl strut around, showing her goods off. I'm talking about little girls.
That's right, brother, yep.
Strutting around, no decency, no modesty, nobody gets. We've never seen it on this wise. We've never seen it, the manner of what we're seeing this day. It's not going to get better. Men have waxed worse and worse. They're only going to get worse. What's the news headline the last 2 days? We've been joking about it, Trav. What's the news headline the last 2 days?
The lion.
It's a blue moon.
Right.
I forgot about the lion. Sister, don't get me on the lion. We'll be here all day. I'm glad Cecil's dead. I'll be honest with you.
That's it. It's over. Yeah.
Man, if you don't know, just look it up. Maybe you'll have to think that. We'll be preaching for hours on that. We're talking about the blue moon. Everybody's obsessed with the moon.
That's it.
Oh, it's a blue moon. And then we talk about it. The moon's not even blue. It's not even talking about the blue moon, the blue moon. The moon's not even blue. We've never seen it on this wise. We're not going to see it again on this one. It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
This is the best it's going to get.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's going to be worse. You know what waxing is? Waxing is a continual growth.
That's right. Sure,
literally, in terminology, as the candle burns, that wax runs down and that candle grows, but it's not functional. It's a growth is what it becomes. That's what waxing. As the moon waxes, it grows in appearance. You know, waxing worse and worse. They're growing in their worseness. They're growing in how bad they are. They're growing in the enormity of their sin. Men have waxed worse. We've never seen it on this wise.
That's right, brother. Yep.
This is the best it's going to get. I'm not trying to, you folks, if you walk in the middle, it's going to be hard for you to understand, so just bear with me if it offends you. Don't get too out of sorts on this. But somebody goes, well, let's elect Donald Trump. He'll help this matter. No, men are waxing worse and worse.
That's what they're doing.
Well, I know, let's get Jeb Bush in there. Just when we need a third Bush, boy, that'll change things. No, they're just waxing worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being honest. It doesn't matter if they put Hillary in the White House or Jeb Bush in the White House. It's going to wax worse and worse because the government cannot control the evilness of men, the wickedness of men, the intents of men's deeds. It's going to get worse. This is the best day we'll have in the years to come. Tomorrow will be a little bit worse. The next day will be a little bit worse. Now, here's the warning to us. He said, because iniquity abounds, the love of many has waxed cold. Because of this, our love has grown cold. Because of sin abounding, because of ungodliness abounding, it's caused our love to wax cold. We've gotten cold on God. We've gotten indifferent towards these things of sin. Everything's slipping. Everybody's tugging at the string at the bit. You know, let's just go a little bit shorter, a little bit longer, a little bit more indecent, a little bit more ungodly, just a little bit things we let in our lives that weren't there. Let's just strain a little bit more at this thing. Here's what the scripture says in Joel chapter 1. This is the destruction. I'm going to read this and go to verse chapter 2 and I'll be done. Once we read all these verses, explain them all. He said, that which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. That which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. The land is desolate. There's nothing left. the soybean fields, when they cut these soybeans in the fall, at least there'll be something left on the ground. When God's judgment's poured out upon this earth, there'll be nothing left. They'll destroy everything. Men will howl, the Bible says they'll howl for their misery. There is no food. And so the Antichrist is going to control these things. He's going to control the food. There'll be no food. There'll be no crops. It'll be absolute desolation. You'll go across the greeneries of the fields. I told my wife yesterday, I said, look at the tobacco. I mean, the tobacco is at least shoulder high in North Carolina. Yeah. I mean, it's a bumper crop, buddy. I mean, you look at the cornfields where we're at. The corn's 12 to 15 foot tall. It's not an exaggeration. The corn was early this year, just great abundance of corn. The wheat fields were beautiful when they harvested them. They're putting a second crop in, the fall corn for the harvest. Why? Because the rain's been bountiful. America has been blessed with this bounty. But look across the greenery and look across the fields and imagine a place with nothing green, nothing living, but locusts, worms, and caterpillars. That'll be the desolation. Can I say, church, spiritually, if we're not there, we're really close to desolation. You know, so we say, oh, we have need of nothing. We have need of nothing. I don't need anything. I got everything I need. He said, don't you know you're miserable, you're poor? He said, you're naked. You don't see your own need? Spiritually, the need is greater than it's ever been. Right? But most people think it's great. Revival has come to America. We're seeing revival abound on every hand. Churches are packed across the county. Some churches will run 5,000-6,000 in this very county this morning. There'll be churches within 50 miles of here that'll run upwards of 10,000 people. You say, where are those churches? They're all over Winston-Salem, Greensboro. They gleaned this harvest of exactly what we've talked about, the spirit of Antichrist. They've learned how to perfect that. They've drawn people in. Now, this is the instruction to us. He said, awake, ye drunkards and weep. Ye that are drunk in your own conceit. Ye that are drunk in your own lust. Ye that are just filled with all manner of lust. He said, awake, ye drunkard. Not only awake, he said, and weep and howl. Not just to weep. Weeping is those hot, burning tears. He said, howl, literally. And the dog would bay at the moon and stand and look at the moon and ooh, and he said, go out and howl, cry aloud, top of your lungs, oh, the misery of the desolation. But because our love's grown cold, we quit weeping. Those of us that ought to know better, we quit weeping. We quit weeping for our children. We quit weeping for our lost loved ones. We quit weeping over our own condition. He said, go and howl. Away. He says, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it's cut off from your mouth, you're going to go howl. There's not even a harvest enough to get you drunk because of the destruction of desolation. Let me skip some of this. I talk about the lamentation of the virgin during the sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Let me go to chapter 2, and I want to read this. I'm done, I promise. Verse number 12 of chapter 2 of Joel says this, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And then the Bible says this, and I'm done with this, I promise. He said, and rend your heart, and not your garments. Why? And turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. He said, rend your heart, not your garment. It's not outward. It's not the sackcloth and ashes of the Pharisee on the street corner with their hands raised, lamenting the wickedness of the day. You know, we can get together and you know, we can preach to each other and we can sit here and we can blast sodomites and we can blast the abortion doctor and we can do all the popular religious things. And we can get up here and we'll shout each other on, hey man, that's right, preach it, nail them, brother, tell them. You know, and all we're doing is sound of brass and tinkling cymbals. We're just telling her the same things over and over and over again. He said, rend your heart, not your garment. When's the last time in your heart you were broken over this matter of sodomy in America?
Oh boy.
I'm not talking about the outward show of the flesh. I'm not talking about screaming at the sodomites going down the road. You know, hey, bunch of queers yelling out the window. I know. I'm talking about rending your heart and getting your heart broken to God and saying, Lord, help me to turn this tide.
Right.
When's the last time you went by these pseudo churches and you saw the massive droves of people, the police stopping traffic to let the thousands of people off the campus when they come out of church? And when's the last time you rode by with your heart broken? Lord, rend my heart! Not to be a show of the flesh. I'm not going to rip my garments. I'm not going to tear my sleeves off and try to show my humbleness. No, Lord, would you rend my heart?
Yeah, that's right, bro. Yeah.
Why? He said, because the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great kindness. And the Bible said this, and repenteth him of the evil. And verse 14 says this, who knoweth if he will return to repent and leave a blessing behind? Who knows? But you know how you find out? You rend your heart. You know how you learn? You rend your heart. Lord, I don't know if you'll turn the tide on this thing. But I talked with you personally about this. I don't know if God will turn the tide this week. But if we'll weep and we'll pray and we'll seek the face of God, who knows if God will turn this thing? Who knows if God will repent of these things? He's not a God that he needs to repent. But we can sway him through prayer, through brokenness. When God repents, he may leave behind a blessing. That's in context. I believe. If we'll turn, he'll turn. But we won't turn. We'll seek out God with all of our heart. Who knows when he may come back?
That's right.
Who knows when he may visit his people one more time? We gotta turn. We gotta turn. Can I say, church, in closing, it's enough of the show of the flesh. We're all spiritual. We all hate really open, wicked sins. We all hate that. I mean, we all hate the guy, and Mother Dale, you'll forgive me for the sake of the illustration, but we all hate the guy covered with tattoos, with bones through his eyebrows, and, you know, a gold ring in his snout, and, you know, he's got a mohawk that's dyed blue up the middle, and, you know, we can all show our flesh, like, ha, look at him. You know, let's drop the show of the flesh. Let's quit tearing
that's
our garments.
Right. That's right. Yep.
Let God run your heart. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in this thing. Enough of the show of the flesh. I'm just going to throw eggs at the abortion thing. Right? That's going to help, right? I'm just going to throw eggs at the... Let's go blow up the abortion clinic. That'll change things. No. But one by one, we get a broken heart. And go to where those little girls are laying in bed with men that aren't their husbands. The reason they kill babies to begin with is because they're fornicating.
That's right.
Let's go down and reach that little girl, pull her up out of the gutter with a broken heart.
Amen.
Yes.
Let's drop the show of the flesh. We'll hear it this week, fellas. You old sodomites. They'll be shouting, glory. They can't do a thing about it.
That's right, brother. You got that right.
And
right.
The wives, all they've done is rent their garment for everybody to see. But they go back to a house that's air conditioned.
Yep.
With padded carpeting, comfortable seating. Their wives are decorated in all the fineries of the Victorian era. And they go back to their high-ceiling rooms and their fine dining rooms. And, you know, they have the finest meals available. They eat all organic, all natural. You know, whatever the horse didn't drop on, you know, they pulled out of the garden. You know, into the fineries of life. And then when they get in the pulpit, all of a sudden, the garments are ripped.
That's right. Yep.
The Lord's instructing us to hear this. He says, even to me, turn ye, even to me, with all your heart, with fasting. He said, and weeping, and with mourning. And he continues that sentence, and rend your heart, not your garment. And turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger. We need to rend our heart, not the garment. grasp this thing. Let God break our heart and quit making an outward show of being broken.
Right.
May I mock for a minute? It's what I do best anyway. You go to the average meet, some of you have seen it, you know, they're up to sing a song. Some little girl's back because she's been crying the whole service because she's a Jezebel, she's wicked, she's been fornicating, and she doesn't want to get caught. And so she gets all emotional at the song, and they start singing, you know, Jesus, you know, and she runs down to the altar. 20 other little Jezebels come running up, run. They all hug up on her, and they kiss her and love her. They get up and have a big mascara fest, you know, and snot fest, and they're wiping, and they all go back to the seats the same way they came down to the altar, wicked as can be. No God in their life at all. All they've done is they show the show of the flesh because they have a little bit of remorse over their wickedness.
That's right, brother. Yep.
They don't ever get anything right because all they're doing is renting their car.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
It's good, brother. Yep.
Not their heart.
That's right.
That's okay, man. I'll talk about us for just a minute.
Yep.
I'm in a church thinking of they testify. Preacher, I want you to pray for me and my family. You wouldn't get snuff if you had that trouble with your sinuses anyway. Preacher, I want you to pray for me and my family. I didn't read my Bible like I ought to. I'm like, no, you're a drunk. You're an adulterer at heart. Your problem's not reading your Bible, your problem is you're wicked.
Yeah, that's right, brother. Yep.
But I gotta rend my garment one more time. I'm going to show everybody one more time how humble I am, that God still loves me and God still uses me. But when's God rent your heart? When's your heart been broken over you? Preacher, pray for my children. They love the Lord and all, but, you know, they love God. They're serving the Lord best they can. You know, I'm like, in a bar? Serving drinks is not serving the Lord.
That's right.
That's right.
My daughter, I mean, she loves the Lord. You know, she's not been coming to church, but she loves the Lord. I'm like, no, if she loved the Lord, she'd be in church. It's pretty simple. Let's rend our hearts, not our flesh. Let's quit ripping our garments and trying to reveal how broken we are over our families and over sin. Let's just let God rend our hearts. You know why we don't? Because iniquity abounds. The love of many is wax cold. You never realize how cold you are. You never realize how miserable you really are. But we have everything. We have everything. And we say this, I have need of nothing. Because I have everything. Whenever something arises that bothers me, I'm just going to rip my garments, tear my sackcloth, slap ashes on my head, and for a couple hours I'll walk around in humility. He said, oh no, rend your heart. Why? Because God is gracious. He's merciful. He's even slow to anger. Thank God for that.
Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
In case, and in context, in case he'll turn, let's just turn to him in a hope that he'll turn back to us. The famed Jordan used to say it all the time. We'll turn, God will turn. If we'll turn, God will turn. If we'll turn, church, God will turn. Right? We'll turn. So God will turn. Will God turn the tide this week? You say, what is my life have an impact on hundreds of people? Elijah. He's made life passes such as we. Elijah's life impacted tens of thousands. One life, a man just like we are. What if my life impacts somebody? You never know what your life can impact. But you got to turn.